You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are joined right now by attorney Randy Zellin to talk about the breaking updates in the Madeleine Kingsbury investigation. Adam Fravel, the former boyfriend and father of the children of Madeleine Kingsbury, has been arrested. Not indicted yet. They've also found a body as of this recording. It has not been identified, maybe identified later in the day in a press conference. What do you make of this so far? Fravel being free now for several months, but now that a body has been found, they were able to make an arrest, I guess. My question would be, why was it there's such a wait to arrest someone or him in this case for a probable cause? Why did they need the body to do that specifically?
There's probably a lot more that we don't know than we do know, and we may learn a little bit more at the press conference. But if we're going to read tea leaves, What may very well have happened here was that there was some forensic or some physical evidence linking him to the body, Perhaps where the location of the body was discovered, to the extent that law enforcement has cell phone records or other proof being able to tie him to the scene where the body was recovered, whether or not there were computer searches or, again, other proof that puts him there or physical evidence that puts him there. That's probably why he has gone from being out of custody to being in custody.
Would that also be why, when he's been filing motions to have custody of his children, why it's been continuously denied? And it appears that the grandparents of Madeleine have custody of the child. Technically, the state does, but they're the ones that are taking care of the children right now. Although he has, again, attempted to file for custody, but been denied every time. I found it just kind of strange that if you have a existing living parent that doesn't have any charges against them, that that would be denied over grandparents.
Well, since the standards of proof in a civil case and the standards of proof when we're talking about issues of custody are far less than proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and since the system will always err on the side of what's in the best interests of the children, it is no surprise that if, in fact, he was at the minimum a person of interest and maybe something more than that, that his applications for custody would have been denied. And of course, the proof is in the pudding. Now that he's been arrested, whoever was thinking, well, he should not have custody, turns out, at least for the moment, they were right.
They were right. And that knowing the information behind the scenes, that could be communicated to the judge who is making that choice and saying, look, I know he's doing this, but you should also be aware of this that we are investigating. Is that how the judge would have knowledge to make that call?
Well, the judge is not supposed to have knowledge that the parties don't have.
Okay.
Unless there is some legal reason why something should be filed with the judge under seal. And that becomes very, very dangerous because now you're talking about due process and the ability to defend one's self. But certainly, to the extent that investigators share information, that's not something that any prosecutor would be required to turn over to the defense until there was the discovery phase of a criminal case or statements needed to be turned over in advance of trial. So I don't know that necessarily the judge had more information that the parties didn't have, but investigators can share information. So it may very well be that the investigators concerning child custody and what would be happening with the kids in terms of where they live, the investigators there were sharing or getting information from the prosecution's investigators or law enforcement investigators.
Okay. Let me ask this too. Is this just because we're at the very, very beginning of this happening of him being arrested, a body found as of a recording less than 24 hours for both of those events to have taken place, and suspicion of murder, second degree is what has been said. Is it second degree because we're just early on and they don't have everything yet to make this a first degree murder charge, and that's enough to keep him held until that time?
Yes, and I'm assuming that the jurisdiction provides for the requirement of an indictment before the case can be tried, whether it's by indictment or a preliminary hearing, the prosecution would be free to upgrade the charges, and even free down the road to supersede with new charges. But yeah, right now they're probably proceeding a little conservatively and determining, okay, what can we comfortably prove in terms of it being more likely than not? Mm-hmm. And if they're proceeding on something other than intentional murder, and maybe they don't have evidence right now of the planning and the intent, and they don't know right now if it's more along the lines of he snapped or some depraved indifference, but something short of, okay, I'm planning this, I'm putting this together, I'm plotting, and I intend to kill my wife, and I in fact killed my wife, yeah. Charge him with murder two as opposed to murder one.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Randy Zellin, as always, thank you so much for your insight. Always very educational and informative as we try to dissect and understand the cases that lay before us. If you'd like to get an ad-free experience of the podcast, sign up to get one through Apple Podcasts right now. Get access to all of our channels on the True Crime Today Network, as well as this one. You can binge away on anything classic trials all the way up to this very moment in time and discussions on all of those cases. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.